Take your Bibles and open again to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. As George mentioned, I'm going through a series on the Ten Commandments here at Old Stone. And it's already July 21st, and we're only on commandment number 3. So we got a ways to go with very little summer left. But we'll make it through at some point, halfway through the fall or something. God has given us His commands to show us how we can love Him. This is not a way of salvation. He, of course, saved us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Then He gave us His law. And this is our way, our opportunity to show our love to Him. As Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." He, of course, demonstrated the extent of His love for us on the cross. And now we have the opportunity to die to ourselves and live for Him by seeking to obey Him from the heart. Just a reminder about next week, we're going to be at Fifth Avenue, so no morning service here. And then after that, things are going to be a little different. So Alyssa and I are going to be away. I'm going to be preaching in Indiana and Colorado, and I know George is going to be away as well, so we'll have a few different people filling the pulpit and preaching, bringing God's Word to us. So just a heads up for the next few weeks. And also, I want to give the red badge of courage to the Ward family. I know it's hard to sit back there. We'd rather squeeze into the cracks of the wall than to sit back here, so I appreciate it. It is hard to do, but it does. It's a way to serve, actually, to fill the choir lofts and to take that, to do that for the congregation. Anyway, I'm going to read Exodus chapter 20, and I'm just going to read commandment number 3. So it starts verse 7. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." That's the word of God. May He apply that word to our hearts, showing us how we can love Him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Over the years, God's blessed us as a congregation with quite a few babies. And it's always exciting to hear when the latest baby has been born. And when you hear that a baby's been born, what's the first thing you want to know? You want to know the name. What did they name their child? Now, picking a name is a lot of pressure on the parents because everyone instantly has an opinion about that name. Many of those opinions are formed by other people that they've known by that less name, or known by that same name. So, if Cletus was a neighborhood bully that I grew up with, and Amy Lou, I think she's due next, if Hal and Amy decided to name their boy Cletus, my initial reaction would be associated with this bully that I grew up with, and I'd think to myself, Cletus? I mean, I thought they loved their son. And of course, that's a hypothetical situation, so all you expectant mothers, Cletus is still a good option for you. So, what this goes to show is that a good name can be ruined by one bad person by that same name. Let me run a few names by you to show you that this is true. Let's say that Alyssa and I had a baby, and since this is hypothetical, let's say we had triplets. And after they're born, I announce their names, and I'm beaming as I announce the names of our three new kids. And the first one is a boy. We name him Adolf Hitler Martin. And then our second one, a girl, we name her Jezebel Delilah Martin. And third, which is a boy, we name him Judas Iscariot Martin. And I might go on to try to explain the meanings of these names and how beautiful they are, but you won't hear any of those explanations because no matter what they mean on paper, those names are forever tainted in our minds because of the wicked people who bore those names before. And so you might not be so bold to us, bold enough to tell us to our face, but you'd rely on Louise Marshall to say something to us. She'd say, "Are you out of your mind? Those are the worst names ever." That's why we need someone like Louise. The reality is that not one of us here is tempted to name any of our kids these names because they've been forever ruined by those people who have gone before. Names are either ruined or esteemed by those who already have that name. Well, now we've come to the third commandment. We've had two big ones so far. You shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not make any images of me or worship them. And those are big and heavy and important commands. And then we get to the third one, and this command almost seems a little bit nitpicky. Don't take the name of God in vain. Don't misuse His name. Now, is that important enough to be the third commandment? In our day and culture, we have reduced this command to simply mean that we don't use God's name as a swear word. And when you reduce it to that, perhaps it maybe doesn't make sense to include it in the top three of the Ten Commandments. But when you really consider the breadth of this command, you know that you find that it goes far beyond not just using God's name as a swear word, but rather, if you claim the name of God, if you call yourself a Christian, a Christ follower, then this is a command that applies actually to your entire life. Because by the way you speak and behave and live, you will either bring shame to that name or you'll bring honor to that name. You'll make it notorious or you'll make it glorious. One of the main reasons why God's name is blasphemed by the world around us and why so many people ridicule the name of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, is because they have either known or heard of people who went by the name of God, but they were wicked. For the very same reason, I will never name my son Adolf Hitler Martin. Many people want nothing to do with God or with the name of God, because too often those who claim that name commit great evil. Bearing the name of God is a heavy responsibility, and when you bring shame to that name, you're breaking this command. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Do not ruin His name. Don't make it notorious. That's the essence of this third command. Now, this command easily splits up into two parts. There's the command part, and then there's the reason why we should obey. And so we're going to spend most of our time looking at this command, and then we'll finish up by looking at the reason why we should obey. So, first, the command. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. If you looked up that Hebrew word that we translate as vain, it would be defined as empty or worthless. Don't treat the name of God in such a way that it empties the name of all honor, making it worthless. As we consider this command, I want you to think about this command in four categories. First category is we need to be careful in how we verbally use the name of God. You know, the first thing that comes to our mind when we think of this command is not using God's name as a swear word. But in general, we really need to think about how we use the name of God verbally in general. So using God's name as a swear word is actually a relatively recent phenomenon. The people of Israel didn't really have this problem. They knew that the name of God was something that shouldn't be messed with. And actually, over time, what the Israelites did was they got to the point where they wouldn't even speak the name of God because they were afraid that they might use it in vain. So they drifted to the extreme on the other side of this spectrum from where we are. And so when they wanted to refer to God, they would refer to Him as the name. They referred to God as the name. So there wasn't the casual cursing with the name of God that happens all around us today, that we perhaps fall into at times today. There's actually an example of misusing the name of God in the book of Leviticus. It gives us a little bit of the sense of this command. In Leviticus 24, verse 10, there was a fight that broke out between two men. And one of them, it says, blasphemed the name and cursed. Literally, it means that he hollowed out the name. He made it light. He cursed it. Now, we don't know exactly what he said. That's not recorded for us. But this man didn't just curse the guy that he was speaking to, but he cursed the guy that this he cursed the God that this guy served. Something like, I don't care about your God, or he can get lost for all I care. Probably something harsher than that. That's the sense of it. He treated the name of God lightly. He cursed it. He emptied it. He acted as if it was worthless. And to show the seriousness of this offense, God told Moses that this man must be taken out of the camp and stoned. He lost his life because he treated the name of God as if it were worthless or light. Well, this command urges us to be careful in how we use the actual name of God in our speech, in our writing. Don't use the name of God as an exclamation mark. Erase that from your language. Don't use God as the butt of your jokes. You know, sometimes we as Christians can be too clever for our own good. We've all probably driven past church signs that make light of the name of God. Kevin DeYoung mentioned a shirt that played off of the Budweiser slogan, "The King of Beers, this Bud's for you." And the shirt said, "The King of Kings, his blood's for you." And I understand the cleverness of it, but it makes light, in my opinion, of the name of God. Too clever for our own good. It's also easy to get into the habit of saying, I swear to God. To help someone believe that we really do tell the truth. You know, making a vow in the name of God isn't always wrong, but just throwing around that phrase to show that you're really telling the truth this time is not the way it's supposed to be used. We also need to be careful that we don't use the name of God as just a filler word. You know, it's easy, especially when we pray, to use the name of God as a filler word. Something like, Lord God, we pray, Father, that you'd help us, Lord Jesus, to give us, Father, what we need, O God. Now, I'm not saying that you can't repeat the name of God when you pray, but you have to be careful that you're not just using the name as a filler, because you're trying to think of the next sentence. Be careful. You know, the whole idea here is that when you're using the name of God, it should carry with it some weight. It shouldn't just sort of come easily out of your mouth. When it says, the command says, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And the idea of taking God's name gives the sense of picking it up and carrying it. When you think of using the name of God, think of it as a big weight that you have to lift up first. You know, I've been working these past few weeks on a retaining wall at my house, and I got some stones that were probably too big, and it takes a lot of effort to move them around and pick them up. And so, because they're so heavy, I don't just pick one up and move it to this place and then to that place, and then finally I have a spot for it on the wall. They're too heavy to mess around with, but rather I want to pick up each stone one time, put it in a very precise spot so I don't have to move it again. So before I pick up the stone, I make sure that the place is prepared where I want it to go so that I can pick it up, put it down very quickly and efficiently so I don't have to move it again. Think of the name of God as a weight. It's a heavy name. Don't throw it around like a Nerf ball. Pick it up very deliberately, place it where it needs to be. So we need to be careful in how we verbally use the name of God. But this command extends far beyond just the verbal use of the name. It also requires that we are careful in how we treat the things that bear the name of God. We need to be careful in how we treat the things that especially bear the name of God. If God's name is attached to something and you treat it lightly or you empty it of honor, then you're breaking this third command. So for example, we have the Bible, which is the Word of God. God's name is stamped on the Bible. When you treat the Bible as if it's not worth your time, or you treat the Bible as the butt of your jokes, then you're mistreating the name because it bears the name of God. Or you think of baptism, which is the stamping of God's name upon His people. We're baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or the Lord's Supper, which is for all those who bear the name of God, or the worship of God. We need to be careful. In the Old Testament, the temple was regarded as the holy place because, as God says, that's the place where He has chosen to put His name. And He said that repeatedly. It's because it carried His name that they were to treat the temple with reverence. Well, as we gather to worship God, wherever we are, that's where God has chosen to put His holy name. So if we treat these things that bear His name lightly or make fun of them, we're breaking this third command. So this command requires that we're careful in how we verbally use the name of God. We're careful in how we treat those things that carry the name of God. The third category is using the name of God for your own benefit. Using the name of God for your own benefit. This ruins the name of God. I think this is getting at more at the heart of this command. And as you read the Old Testament, this is really a large part of what the Israelites struggled with. They struggled with this throughout history. They would use the name of God for their own benefit, hoping that they could use His name in order to get what they wanted, using worship or the temple as sort of a superstition to jump through some hoops so that they could get what they wanted. So people would go to the temple, they would take the name of God upon their lips, thinking it was this magical ritual that then protected them whenever they went throughout the week living like the devil. They were just using God's name as a superstition. You need to be aware that you can't live like the devil and then come to church and make a confession just so you can feel good about doing it all over again. It's not a superstition. It turns God's name into a superstition. There are lots of false prophets who would come and speak in the name of God in order to get a following. They would declare peace without a call to repentance. Or they would proclaim prosperity and salvation without confession or forgiveness. They would make prophecies that wouldn't come true. They were claiming to speak in the name of God, but they were ruining the name of God because they were just using the name for their own benefit so that they could gain a following. Today, there are quite a few false prophets that use the name of God to get a following. People who declare peace without repentance or salvation without the cross or hope without the resurrection. They tickle people's ears to gain a large following. They fill their bank accounts. But you know, that's not just a problem for televangelists or megachurch pastors or mid-size church pastors. Let me explain how we can fall into that same temptation. If you use the name of God to help you get hired or to help you make a sale with a client or to secure a client for your business, then you're doing the same thing. When you use the name of God, hoping that it'll give you a better chance at dating someone that you like, and you're using the name of God to manipulate someone. or politicians who claim to be Christians in order just to secure the evangelical vote, or you market the name of God or a song about God to make a quick buck, to increase revenue. Now, please understand, I'm not saying that you should be silent about your faith. You should be clear about your faith. You should be clear that you serve the Lord Jesus at all times and in every way, but it shouldn't be done in a way, in an effort to manipulate someone to get them to do what you want them to do. Another way we can misuse the name of God is to attach God's name to our cause. To say that my cause is God's will, and if you aren't behind my cause, then you're not following God. We may not say it outright, but we might convey this. You know, one of the slogans that were used to gain support for the Crusade Wars was, "It is God's will." It is God's will. The church used the name of God to promote their own cause, and they promised rewards by God if they fought. It's a violation of this command to attach God's name to our own cause. Of course, we aren't waging war, but we're really good at doing the same kinds of things. We can make people feel that if they don't support our cause, then they should maybe question their faith. Or when churches go through a building program and try to get people behind the plan, the leadership says it's God's will for us to build. And so if you're, the communication is that, or they're conveying this idea that if you're not giving to this, then you're not giving to the will of God. We need to be very careful to not attach God's name to our own cause. Or perhaps what we do most commonly is we can say, "I feel God leading me to do this or that." Now, we believe that God leads us. There's no doubt about it. We make plans. God directs our steps. But we can use that name as a cop-out to not take responsibility. "I feel God leading me to break up with you. You know, if it were up to me, I'd stay with you, but I feel God leading me." That's often used. I hear it around college, the college campus. Or, "I didn't feel like God's leading me to go to church this morning, so I didn't go." Or, I felt like God was leading me to marry this guy who's not a Christian. We use the name of God to justify our own desires, our own behavior. And so we need to be very careful when we say, "I felt God leading me to do this or that." This is really the concept that Jesus accused the Pharisees of doing. You know, they were pretending to follow God, but they were just doing it so that they could get the places of honor. They could manipulate the people to get them to do what they wanted them to do. They were abusing the name of God by using it for their own benefit. Be careful. Don't attach the name of God to something for your own benefit. That's a breaking of this command. Now we get to the fourth category. The fourth category is the most broad. So we need to be careful how we verbally use the name. We need to be careful on how we treat those things that bear the name of God. And we need to be careful that we don't use the name of God for our own purposes. And the fourth category is you break this command when you name the name of God and live like the devil. I'd say that's the main point of this command. Don't claim the name of God and live like the devil, and thereby make the name of God notorious. This verb, actually, of taking the name of God, it does mean a picking up and a carrying it around. And it really means that as Christians, you're always carrying around the name of God. The moment you believe in Jesus, you're picking up this name, and in a sense, you're not setting it down ever again. You're carrying it around with you. Which means that everything you do has an impact on the name of God. Paul, in Romans 2, he makes this very same point. He says that God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles by the world, the watching world, because those who claim to be followers of God break all the commands. They live however they want, but they claim the name of God as they do it. And because of them, people who watch them are saying, well, if that's what a follower of God is, then I don't want anything to do with that. If that's what God is all about, then I want nothing to do with Him. Because of the way that they live, they made the name of God notorious instead of glorious. You need to recognize that everything you do, by the way that you live, you will either make the name of God notorious or glorious. So it goes way beyond just not using God's name as a swear word. If you're a Christian, which means a follower of Christ, you bear His name wherever you go. And so whenever we behave like the world, we're blaspheming that name. We're making the name of God notorious. Arguably, the most notorious name in history is Hitler. If you're like me, when you hear the name Hitler, you think of Adolf and the Nazis and the Holocaust. Well, Matt Ogens directed a documentary called Meet the Hitlers. And in this documentary, he followed a few families whose last name is Hitler and how it has affected their lives and really directed the course of their lives. And as he made this documentary, he found that many Hitlers officially changed their name because they didn't want to be associated with such a name. When World War II broke out, there were 22 families in New York City that had the last name Hitler. After the war ended, there were none. Some of those families could have moved away, but likely not all of them. They changed their name because they didn't want to be associated with such evil. And those who did keep the name, they were then targets of ridicule. If you had the last name Hitler, would you change your name? That would be hard to keep because of the evil that's associated with that name. The wickedness of one man. By the wickedness of one man, that name is ruined. Well, it's amazing that it just takes one person to ruin a name for everyone else. And that's why it's so important to remember this command. Don't ruin the name of God. Don't empty of it of honor. Don't make it notorious. Don't be the reason why people ridicule the name of God. Now, of course, we don't have the option of just dropping the name of God like you could drop the last name Hitler. But instead, we have the privilege of working to make His name glorious once again. You have the privilege to live in such a way as to make the name of God glorious. As I've said before, the secret to delighting in the law of God that we sing about in Psalm 19 and Psalm 119, the secret to delighting in the law of God is not just understanding the negative side, the you shall not, but we need to understand the positive side of the command. And the positive side of this command is make the name of God glorious on the earth. As a representative of God on earth, as you bear the name of God, as you serve as an official ambassador of the Lord Jesus, it's your great privilege to work and to serve in order to make the name of God, the name of Jesus, glorious in all you do. I find it interesting that this third command is really stated in the positive at the very beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. The very first thing that we pray for in the Lord's Prayer is for the name of God to be honored. It'd be hallowed. It'd be made glorious to the world. And the way that God does that is through us who bear His holy name. There is a lot of evil that's been done in the name of God. And we have, in a sense, the responsibility and the opportunity to cover over those offenses by our godliness. To make the world forget those evils. To show that those evils are in fact the opposite of what God's name stands for. to make His name glorious by the way that we genuinely love Him and genuinely love our neighbor. In your life, don't make the name of God notorious. Make His name glorious. Now, this command includes a reason why we should obey. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, there are lots of reasons why we should obey the law of God. The primary reason being that because we've been saved through the blood of Christ, we now express our love to him by obeying his commands. But there are also secondary reasons why we should obey. And attached to this command is one of these secondary reasons. What this means is that God will bring punishment or discipline upon those who take his name in vain. It's a promise. He doesn't say how or when, but there will be consequences. And I want to explain two ways how this might happen. If you are making the name of God notorious, if you're living like the devil while you claim the name of Jesus, then you should initially ask yourself, are you really trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Like the Pharisees who claimed to be followers of God and looked pretty good on the outside, they were just abusing the name of God, and as a result, they were punished in hell for eternity. God did not hold them guiltless. Since they didn't trust in the Lord Jesus, they were condemned. If you're just pretending to follow God, you should be afraid. And I urge you to hear the call of the gospel, the grace of God found in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins, trust in Jesus, and He will wash you clean. And then because of that amazing grace, make it your life's goal to make the name of God glorious again in your life. You may think you've messed up too many times. The Lord is gracious. He forgives. Then a second way to understand this is that even as Christians, we fall into the pattern of abusing the name of God. Even on our best days, we abuse the name of God. And God promises that as we fall into sin, He disciplines us like a good parent disciplines his kid. And discipline is painful. We don't want it. Don't treat the discipline of the Lord lightly, as if it's an easy thing. Yes, you're washed clean through the blood of Jesus, but if you fall back into old patterns, you expose yourself to the discipline of God. And so we're called as Christians to continually walk in repentance, to turn again from those ways, to trust in Him. So there we have it, the third command. Don't contribute to making God's name notorious, but rather make it glorious. We're so thankful that we have one who did make the name of God glorious in all he did. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came from heaven to earth and he made the name of God glorious in all he did. And then he went to the cross to save us from our sins. And as those who continually stumble along the way, we have one who is tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. And so we can come to His throne to receive grace to help us in our time of need. And as we receive that grace, it should motivate us more and more to serve Him, to join Him in making the name of God glorious in this world. Through the name of Jesus, we will walk triumphantly in the name of Jesus. It's in His name that we will make the name of God glorious once again. Let's pray. Our gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we Thank you for the privilege of bearing your name. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died and rose again in glory in order to adopt us into the family of God to bear that name. Help us to make your name glorious as we live in this world. Forgive us when we contribute to making it notorious instead. And help us to continually seek after the Lord Jesus, to walk by faith, to be washed clean by His blood, seeking to serve Him in all things, so that your name is honored. Hallowed be your name. It's in Jesus that we pray. Amen.